Test.
Check one.
Good evening, everyone. Tonight is the first meeting of 2014 of the City of Goleta Parks and Recreation Commission meeting, January 22nd, 2014. If you would all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Ms. Lopez, shall we do a roll call?
Commissioner Dolan?
Here.
Commissioner Hart?
Here.
Commissioner Richards?
Here.
Commissioner Smith?
Here.
Commissioner West?
Here.
Vice Chair Barsky?
Here.
Chair Rojas?
Here. This is the time in our commission meeting that we asked if there's anyone in the public that would like to speak on any item that's not on the agenda to come forward with a speaker slip. And I don't believe we have anybody.
No speaker slips.
So we'll move on to item A on our agenda, commissioners.
Mr. Chair and members of the Parks and Recreation Commission, good evening and Happy New Year. The first of six meetings we will have this year, culminating in the final meeting of the year to be held in November. It's hard to believe it's already 2014. Tonight we have a presentation from Dr. Ben Drotti, the Assistant Superintendent of Secondary Education for the Santa Barbara Unified School District. The presentation will be on the Junior High After School Sports Program, and we'd like to welcome Dr. Drotti tonight to the Commission's meeting. And at the end of the presentation, staff would be happy to answer any questions. The item tonight is really an information presentation item. The Commission's not being asked to take any formal action tonight.
Is it after a certain button, or is it on already?
You're good.
We'll give you, I think the Chair will give you more than 3 minutes on this one.
Good evening. How are you guys doing? Good. Well, thank you for having me here today. And I'm here to basically talk about the after-school sports program at the junior high school. And I don't know how familiar you are with Santa Barbara Unified School District. There, obviously, we have our elementary schools, and then we have a secondary, and I oversee all the secondary schools. In the secondary schools, there are four junior highs and four high schools, including La Cuesta, our alternative ed school. Today's focus is more on the junior highs. And so this is basically our after-school sports program. And it's been in existence for a long time. And I'm not familiar with your history on how the sports program working at the junior high, but it's been in existence for a long time and has gone through different forms and forms of leadership. And as of last several years, the PAL program through the Police Activities League has done a great job in really taking over that program. Prior to PAL, I guess there were two or three other agencies, and then at one point it was the actual schools that took over the program and made it run. Along the way, you know, with state budgets and things getting real tight on education, I think that's when PAL and some of these other agencies ended up taking it away from schools. And we thought they did an awesome job, but at some point, we also recognize the benefit of the school district taking it over, because we thought that us having our teachers be the coaches, the directors, and us celebrating it and being a part of the fiber of the school, that a lot more students will be involved in the program. And in our conversations with PAL, I think they agreed, and we made mutual agreement that we would take over this year. In the past, the city of Santa Barbara has provided funding, and so have you, and we really appreciate that. And part of today is just to basically tell you that we are in appreciation, that we're not going to just take money and run, and we want to be able to show you what we're about. And
make the kids run.
Yeah. So I have a PowerPoint here, and maybe we can slip to the next slide here. I mean, you see right there what the purpose of our after-school sports program is. It's to provide all students with what you see there. I mean, safety. I mean, you guys are Parks and Recreation. I think you really understand what the importance of that, having students engaged, belong to something, and be exercising and staying fit. I mean, that has tremendous implications on our community, and we want to be a part of that. In education, it's not just about the academic side. I mean, you really have to focus on the emotional, social-emotional side and teaching leadership. All those things are most of the time taught through the co-curricular activities, whether it be band, performing arts, sports. Those programs are the ones that provide the opportunity for educators to really focus in on those areas, and we think they're important. Let's flip to the next slide here. So the structure that we have, prior to us doing this, PAL basically ran everything, and we just gave them the money, you gave them the money, and the city of Santa Barbara gave the money, and we are basically hands off. And like I said, they did an awesome job, but we thought that us being engaged with it again would allow more students to participate, and I'll be able to show you later on that it has come to fruition. Our structure is such that we're going to rotate the principals in the junior high to lead each year. This year it happens to be Lito Garcia. I don't know if you know him. He's a principal of Santa Barbara Junior High. He's basically the lead, my lead person I work with. He has an assistant that he works with. And then each site has a coordinator. And those are basically their responsibilities you see there. If you can flip to the next slide, please. I'm sorry, I guess I jumped ahead, but these are basically the responsibilities of some of these sites that we have. And that PAL used to do that, now we do. So the resources that you provide goes to what we do here. We have a three five-week seasons, and in the past there were two seasons, and we broke up to three because of the numbers. Because when we put it out, we're going to just plan on having two seasons. Real quick, we found out that we needed more. And so we developed a schedule for three seasons, and there they are right there. If you flip to the next slide there. And just the financial contributions that you guys offer is $13,000. We appreciate that very much. City of Santa Barbara provides the $20,000, and then we provide the difference of $52,000. And as it fluctuates, we will subsidize that. Turn to the next slide. This is basically the first season. I apologize, I don't have the results for the second season yet. We still got to crunch some numbers on that, but this is for first season by junior high. If you can see up there, let's look at La Cumbre, the girls' soccer. You'll see that there's 28 players, a plus 8 from 2013, meaning we added 8. Eight more players than what it was before. The boys basketball, plus 12 from previous year. If you look at Santa Barbara Junior, you'll see that we had for girls soccer, we had 18 extra players. I mean, that's a whole different, you know, whole team there. So as you from the previous year. For boys basketball, Santa Barbara Junior, we obviously, you know, it declined there. We got to figure out what that was. But they promised that it'll be larger next year. If you look at Goleta Valley, for the girls soccer, I mean, they added an extra 36 players this year from previous year. And the boys basketball, they added an extra 6. If you look at what's going on in La Colina, girls soccer, extra 10 players. And then also boys, extra 5 players. So this is our first go around. Without a lot of advertisements, because we were in a crunch to get everything lined up. But this is our first go-around, and the principals will tell you that And if I were to come here next time for the second season, you'll see even the numbers bigger now that we are in there and we're in the classes and the coaches are mingling with the kids and asking them to come out. So we hope to continue to grow this. My understanding is, I wasn't here, but my understanding is when the district had it, it was a thriving program. And not that it wasn't, but the numbers did dwindle. And not from the lack of trying from those outside agencies, but that's what it was. They were outside agencies trying to make connections, trying their best to make connections with our schools. And there's a lack of engagement that occurs when it's not your own folks doing it. So we think this model is better. I think that's the – yes. So with that said, I'll leave it up to questions.
Yeah. I noticed that just for basketball, for example, there are 22 players at Santa Barbara Junior High.
Yeah.
And there's only 5 people that play. Are there multiple teams that are participating? Is there more than one coach? And like,
yeah, there's more than one coach, so you have multiple teams. We don't want to turn anybody down.
Uh-huh.
So as players come, the more coaches we'll add to it.
Okay.
So. I was wondering, do they still have PE during the course of their school day?
Yes.
So this is in addition to that?
Yes, this is after school. So
okay.
So instead of sending the students home, they're with us till 5:30, 6.
My other question is, do you consider dance a sport? No. I mean, do you ever foresee offering for young ladies or men forms of dance as exercise after school?
Absolutely. Right now, based on what I've observed in Santa Barbara, like I said, this is my second year. That's seen as a performing arts craft, but it depends on where you are. We can definitely define it as a support. We would love to see something like that involved in this. And but we have plans on growing this thing. You know, we're in discussions with the Boys and Girls Club to basically collaborate on adding a tackle football component to the junior highs as well. So that's still in discussions right now. But we feel that the more you have students involved in things, the less they'll be out there, getting into other stuff.
You mentioned the Boys and Girls Club.
Yeah.
I used to coach there. How do the two programs complement each other, or how do they interact, or do they at all?
This will still keep going. Next rotation, you'll see a flag football component there and other sports there. But in terms of the tackle football, that's going to be a separate entity. But another piece we'll add to that. But for those that want to be serious about playing football at the high school level,
actually, I was referring to basketball. They had a basketball program at Boys and Girls Club. Do they no longer have that? And this supplants this? Okay.
Oh, they do.
Is there any interaction between the two?
There isn't. We actually feel that some of the basketball players at the Boys and Girls Club, they're considered an AAU program. They're more serious than what we have here. Obviously, we want to train our kids here up to be able to play in some of those sports, but the Boys and Girls Club is a lot more competitive than what you see here. This thing here is really. We feel that there are a lot of students walking around that don't have the means to go get into soccer, play AAU basketball, or all these other programs that are expensive. And what happens is these kids, sometimes when they go to high school, all of a sudden there's competition. They don't have a chance to even survive out there in high school. So we think this program allows them the opportunity to understand the concepts of basketball, football, volleyball, and have some kind of a chance when they get up there. And there are those that are getting better and better, and we'll just continue to get better at it. But we don't want to alienate. If you count that many students that are involved in this, I mean, that's a lot of students that you can tie into the high school sports. But the way it is right now, I oversee the high schools also, and I was a principal for a long time at Clovis West and Fresno. The level of competition at the prep level, at the CIF, is steep. You know, you're not going to – to even get a basketball player to come out and try to play another sport, the focus is on they got to focus on their sport, and so that's the nature of what's happening with CIF sports, and the training that takes place to prepare students for those CIF sports, costs money. And what happens is you start seeing a separation of those that have and those that don't in the sports arena at high school. So this we feel this would mediate some of that.
Dr. Girardi, who do you have paid coaching staff, or are these teachers or students?
These are teachers. We stipend them. So the funds that you all provide goes into that kind of a structure. So coaches, the referees,
right.
All those are all.
Is there any plans in your program to create an internship for maybe high school students to be coaching assistants or develop young people?
Well, the piece we struggle with because of our numbers is exactly that. It's hard to find coaches out there. So we're able to people come to us. We they have to follow our rules, obviously.
Right.
About how to.
So you don't use volunteer coaches then?
No, right now we stipend the coaches.
Okay. And the next question is, do the kids pay any fees?
No.
Great.
No fees.
Because you do a lot for $85,000. That's incredible.
A lot of it is basically people wanted to do this. I mean, the stipends we're paying aren't that much.
Right.
You know, so, but the people that do it because they want to do it.
And the last question, I promise, is there somewhere we can get a schedule so maybe all of us
or one of us
want to come out and see the kids play?
Absolutely. I'll send one out as soon as tomorrow.
So we can report back to the citizens.
Yeah.
How good their dollars are being spent.
Yeah.
Any other questions, commissioners?
If you had an opportunity to train the staff or a means to find volunteers, would you be open to those, or are you looking for someone to come directly to? Like, who would a volunteer from a high school go to?
They would probably go to Lido, and
yeah.
That's a piece we would have to communicate out there.
Okay.
I know I've left it up to the principals to navigate that, through the schools.
So they would contact Lido, and then they would
out. Let me take it back. Not Lido, but just the direct school they wanted. So if someone wants to go to Goleta Valley, they would contact Veronica Rogers, and I'll talk to her. If someone wants to go to Santa Barbara Junior, they would go there.
And then what would the requirements be for that?
We have some requirements in terms of training and, mm-hmm. The rules about you got to make sure that you pass the fingerprint test and all that kind of stuff.
So for a volunteer.
for students, most of the time they'll be able to get in. We just have to make sure that they understand what our rules are in terms of how to coach kids and how to be with them and not get too crazy out there.
Okay. Yeah.
Actually, wouldn't that be a wonderful visionary thing to go to the high schools and all these kids who have to earn community service points? You probably have a lot of really athletic kids who
Absolutely.
Would just jump at the opportunity to help their community by doing what they love to do and being a role model
Absolutely.
To the other kids would be wonderful, I think.
Absolutely.
It's a great idea.
Yeah, those are some things that we're looking at. Obviously, we recognize that money that we have is not going to be enough. It's not going to be enough to do what we want to do. So we have to open the doors for those kind of things. Eventually, even at the high school level, when our coaches even struggle, they're getting coaches. So if we're a feeder ground of training coaches, eventually they may even end up at the high schools and coaching there.
If there are no other questions, thank you, Dr. Girardi, for making time for us this evening. We really appreciate it, and we look forward to seeing you out there on the field.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you very much for offering yourselves to us and continuing to support the programs. And I think education in the city, we have to work hand-in-hand here. We got to raise a community together, so I appreciate it. Yeah, thank you.
I think we can move on to item A2, Butterfly Docent Program.
Mr. Chair and members of the Commission, it's staff's pleasure tonight to present to you another presentation on the Monarch Butterfly Docent Program. As many of you know, the Bluff area and our Monarch Butterfly Program is very special and unique to Goleta. And we have an opportunity tonight to hear from two of our staff members. The first one will be Ms. Luz Reyes-Martin, our management analyst, who will be joined by Ms. Karis van der Heide, our Butterfly Docent Program intern. So you will get this would be it's not a double hitter, it's like a tag team. It will be a tag team presentation tonight. So with that, I'm gonna change my chair with you. Oh, are we waiting for audio? Oh, the if you'll bear with us while the presentation loads, I'll be ready to roll here.
We might need a minute break or so.
Is a minute enough, or should we take more? 5 minutes? We're going to take a 5-minute intermission here for uploading our new program here. Come back in 5 minutes, please. Okay, everyone, I think we've got our program loaded. Take it away, Luz.
Good evening, Chair and members of the Parks and Recreation Commission. I'm very happy to be joined here with Karis Vanderhyde, our Butterfly Docent Program intern. And we're going to be providing you with an update on this year's current Monarch Butterfly Docent Program. We're almost at the tail end of the season, but we thought this was a great opportunity to give you guys an update on the program and some information on the program if you're not familiar with it already. So the Elwood Mesa Sperling Preserve Monarch Habitat area, I'm sure you're all familiar with the area out there. And as you'll see, we have six aggregation sites here in Goleta, here on the Elwood Mesa. The main one is the Elwood Main, which is where the main viewing area is, and that's where we generally direct all visitors to the monarch butterfly habitat. But for your information, there are five other smaller sites throughout the area out there where we do see and count butterfly clusters during the season. Elwood, Maine is one of California's largest sites. This season, we currently have around 10,000 butterflies, and that's in total. That's including all of the aggregation sites out there. That number is lower than in previous years, but As you may know, our numbers do fluctuate from year to year. It's a little difficult to track any kind of pattern because it is so very dependent on so many different factors for that season. And it is an environmentally sensitive habitat area. And as we've mentioned in the past, the city is currently working on a habitat management plan for the Elwood Main area to help protect the site out there. Although Elwood Main Grove is typically the main site in Goleta and where we see most butterflies, this year we've seen increased numbers at some of the other aggregation sites. There were a couple weeks throughout this season so far where we've had, you know, even double the amounts in some of the other sites than what we've seen at Elwood Main. In addition, usually at this time in the season, the monarchs from throughout the local aggregation sites will have moved to Elwood Main. However, this year, they're staying spread out. The cause of this could be the scarcity of water out there, but we're really not sure. We should have some more information as we continue discussing, not only with our very educated docents, but also in communicating with other sites in California. So a little overview of our docent program. Goleta's butterfly monarch butterfly docent program is only one of four docent programs in California. The other programs in California are the Natural Bridges State Beach Monarch Grove in Santa Cruz, the Monarch Grove Sanctuary in Pacific Grove, and the Pismo Beach Monarch Butterfly Grove. The program here in Goleta was developed by city staff in 2007 to better serve our community and also to manage the great numbers of visitors that go to the site, and also to provide this service to not only visitors but also to local schools. And we'll give you an update on our field trips this year in just a couple slides. We're assisted by a docent program intern. In the past, you guys all probably knew Jessica Haro. She was the intern for several years prior to this year. Our new docent, Karis Vanderhyde, has been an invaluable member of our team. She has a background in biology and actually studied monarch butterfly migration patterns as a student at Cal Poly. So she's expertly knowledgeable about the monarch butterflies. And she primarily handles field trip registrations, our docent schedules, and actually leads docent tours at the Grove. The goal of the program is to develop a pool of trained volunteers who provide the public with on-site educational opportunities during the overwintering season and assist with docent-led field trips. And when I say the overwintering season, the monarch butterflies typically begin to show up in clusters in the Grove and the aggregation sites in about mid-October, and they remain through the beginning of February. Their peak is typically around Christmas and into January. And we have a lot of great information, not only on visiting, but also educational information on our website, and that is goletabutterflygrove.com. Funding for the program was originally created as part of the Elwood Mesa open space land swap. And the program is now implemented by the Neighborhood Services and Public Safety Department. The program runs on a lean budget. Primary expenses are updating our docent training binders and other materials for training and also for educational displays out at the main viewing area. We typically have an appreciation lunch for our docents at the end of the season, and that's really just a picnic, and it's open to, you know, anyone who would like to attend. We'll certainly extend that invitation to the Parks and Rec Commission. In upcoming years, we'll probably look at upgrading some of our materials and probably purchasing some new vests for our docents. Docents, once they've completed their training, are equipped with vests that have the city logo and say docent on them. You may have seen those. So we want to make sure that those are still in good shape for many of our docents are returning docents, so they've had those vests for several years now. As I mentioned, it's run by our Neighborhood Services Department. However, the city's advanced planning manager, Ann Wells, continues to be involved in the program as a docent, and she provides guidance on our program since she was primarily involved with the program from its inception. We also get great assistance from the city's public information officer, Valerie Kushnerov, on media requests and in keeping our website up to date. And now Karis will walk you through some of our educational opportunities.
Okay. Our docent program supports several educational opportunities for the docents and community members. We lead training and field orientation workshops for training our docents and for orienting them to the Elwood Mesa area and teaching them Monarch facts and behavior of the Monarchs and how to lead docent talks. We also hold a counting workshop with Monarch Alert at Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo to train volunteers on counting protocol for the Western Monarch Thanksgiving Count. This is a statewide census for the Monarch populations at overwintering sites throughout California. And it's coordinated through the Xerce Society, which is an insect conservation group. And we hold that workshop in usually the fall, and then the Thanksgiving count occurs 2 weeks around Thanksgiving. And myself and some other of our docents will go out regularly during this time and count as many of the overwintering sites that we can find. And that's pretty fun. And then we report back. And it's interesting to know that the statewide the counts are up from last year. So that's good to know. And through Santa Barbara County, they're up from last year. But last year, or counts for the Elwood, Maine, are down. So it's more of a localized decrease, which is interesting. Let's see. We also support school science nights at Monta Vista School and Hope School. Our master docent, Lynn Kirby, who's been doing this since the program started, is just an expert in educating people, and she'll hold a table and talk to students about that at science nights. We also have information at the GaletaButterflyGrove.com on our website. Let's see. So this year we have 13 active docents. We've recruited 3 new ones this year, and they're doing quite well. Our docents are comprised of local educators and master gardeners and local Monarch enthusiasts. They are trained by city staff, or they're trained by themselves. So myself and Luce will train them, as well as our Lynn Kirby, our master docent, who's been raising butterflies for years. And it's really a local treasure, I think. Docents sign up for 2-hour shifts on the weekends and holidays between 11 and 3, and usually stay later than their 2-hour shift because we've had so many visitors to the Grove and with so many questions that it's kind of hard to leave the Grove when you're there. And we also give our docents binders of training materials, including information on biology and behavior and migration of the Monarchs. And several of our docents have been with us since the start of the program in 2007. Okay, next. School field trips. This is another huge component of the program. We have an online request form for field trips that the teacher fills out, and the teacher will request a date, and then I will do my best to find a docent who's available to accommodate their field trip and lead them. And so far this year, we've had 23 requests for field trips and been able to support and have a docent there for 23 times. So that's pretty good. Let's see. We've had groups ranging in size from 15 students to 70 students, and 70 students is a big group, so we divide it into groups because the Grove can only hold about 20 or 30 students at a time. So we've managed to rotate them through and get as many students in as we can. As many as 650 students have come through on a docent-led tour, which is really fun.
So in addition to the field trips, which are, you know, educational, they're typically pre-K through, I think, fifth grade has been the oldest class that we've had, but generally they're first graders, kindergartners. We also do other types of docent-led tours. For example, this year we were approached by the El Encanto Hotel in Santa Barbara. They were hosting a large group of media representatives who were doing a story on the newly refurbished hotel, and asked if we could provide a docent-led tour of the Monarch Grove for that media group. So myself and several other docents and our city public information officer facilitated that, and we did a docent-led tour for them. And as a result of that, we've also had other requests from large groups that are guests at that particular hotel who have also requested docent-led tours. So I recently, several weeks ago, led a tour of about 20 guests from all – they were actually a group there for a corporate meeting, and they were – from all over the United States and Canada. So it was a particularly special type of event for them, and they loved it. And some of them actually said they were planning to come back next year to see the butterflies again. In addition, we've led docent-led tours for some staff at the Bacara Resort and Spa. They're also interested in, you know, possibly offering this, you know, local nature walk as something that they can let their guests know about. We've also had docent-led tours for the Santa Barbara Newcomers Club. And we have tried in the past done other types of docent-led tours like this for local clubs or groups who are interested in a fun type of activity like this. And we try to accommodate those requests as much as possible. However, usually the priority is for the school trip since we really greatly value the educational value of, you know, getting little kids out there to see the butterflies. And I should also mention that as part of the docent-led tours, especially for the field trips, it not only includes, you know, a presentation in the Grove, we actually also walk them out to the bluffs and show them, you know, that open space and, you know, kind of give them a little bit of history of that area out there and how the community came together to protect that area and that so that they and their children and grandchildren will be able to come out there and visit that site as well. So it's a really fun, you know, pretty long walk for a kindergartner, but they really enjoy it. And the teachers have given us a lot of really great feedback on our docents and our program and how much they really appreciate it. And we've had school field trips not only from, you know, Goleta and Santa Barbara, but from Ventura. They come as far as Ventura for their field trips. So as we start to wrap up this season, we're already thinking about the next season. So we want to continue maintaining our relationship with other docent programs and organizations. We're in communication throughout the season with some of the other docent programs as well as some of the educators at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo and with our other local residents who have an interest and do their own types of biological studies or who are working on other projects that have some kind of relationship to the Monarch Grove. We like to keep in communication with them and kind of maintain that relationship. We'll continue to recruit enthusiastic docents. We've, as Karis mentioned, got three additional ones this year, and they've been fabulous, and we've already started to receive some interest for next season of some local residents who are interested in becoming docents. So we will continue to do that and do some more outreach for the upcoming season. We'll continue to enhance the visitor experience by providing, you know, enthusiastic and knowledgeable docents. And that includes not only recruiting new docents, but doing training for our existing docents. We, you know, provide them with, you know, new materials or upgraded materials that they might need. We're constantly sharing any kind of education or articles that we find or about any, you know, new updates on what's going on with the Monarchs. We try to share that as much as possible with our docents. And we'll be upgrading our educational display materials that we have out in the Grove. And for you all and for everybody watching us at home, if you have any questions on the Butterfly Docent Program or the Grove itself, you can always contact myself or Karis, and you can also visit GoletaButterflyGrove.com. That has a lot of great information and also has our contact information and a way to even send questions or any types of inquiries via email. And if you have any questions, Karis and I are happy to answer those at this time. Thank you.
Commissioner Richard.
Yeah, I'm just curious. Is the program completely seasonal, or what happens during the off season? Do the docents, are they active at all or doing anything at that point, like doing any tours or talks or anything?
Well, the Monarchs are typically gone by, as I mentioned, about the beginning or by middle of February. So our docents aren't involved in, say, the weekend shifts, and we don't do any more field trips. We do maintain some communication with them if it's updates for the next season or if we have updates on the habitat management plan, which they're all, you know, very involved with and want to know what's going on with that. But it's much less, you know, formal during that off season. And we start to kick the season up a month or two before the Monarchs actually get here in October. So by about the late August, September is when we start reaching out to them again, and we'll start the outreach, you know, even before that. So there's some work for staff in the off season, but for the docents, it's primarily just during the season.
Any other questions? Thank you. Appreciate it. Moving on our calendar here, we are actually now at item B on our agenda. And we hopefully you've all had a chance to review the meeting minutes of November 13th, 2013. If there are no questions and you've had an opportunity to review the minutes, I will be open to a motion to accept those.
I'll move to accept them. I move to accept them.
I second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? No discussion. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. We are now quickly on to item C.
Okay, that is selection of the chair and the vice chair. And my, how time flies by. It seems like only yesterday. Well, it's that time again that I'm asking for a nomination for a chair. And remember, the nomination doesn't require a second at this time. Just asking if anybody wants to make a nomination for a chair, and then we'll take a vote. So do I hear any nominations for chair?
May I ask a question?
Yes.
Since we started mid-year, might it be a nice idea that we continue as is for another 6 months to give our current chair and vice chair a full year of leadership and revisit it in 6 months, or and that's a no?
Well, I knew that question was going to come up.
Oh, did you?
As I mentioned earlier, it seemed like it was only yesterday. Resolution number 1277 that helped to organize the Parks and Recreation Commission, item section 2 under organization. It says, each year at its first regular meeting of the calendar year, the commission shall elect from its membership a chair and a vice chair. So it's not really something that I can amend. However, you can appoint as you wish. It's your duty, it's your idea, it's your nomination that's going to appoint the chair and the vice chair. Should you elect to do the same, continue with the same, that's up to you.
I might suggest that if she's willing, we start a natural progression, and I nominate Kelly Barsky to be the chair this time around.
I will second that.
Okay, we have a motion to appoint Commissioner Barsky as our chairperson, and a second. Is there any discussion?
I accept the nomination. If you're asking if I may, I would be interested.
Did you say you accept the nomination?
Well,
Accept. Okay. No. So we have a nomination for a chairperson. Any others? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Hearing none, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. So do we have a nomination for a vice chair?
I'd like to nominate Kyle Richards as vice chair.
A second. I'll second it.
So we have a motion for Commissioner Richards to be our vice chair, and that has seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Hearing none, motion carries. Change chairs?
I don't even finish the meeting, huh?
But you're gonna have to line out commissioner to meet.
Okay.
We'll take this moment to thank Richard for his service as chair. Great inaugural experience that we had.
Thank you.
Thank you, Richard.
Okay, we are now on item C2, and that's a recreational needs assessment project update.
Madam Chair and members of the Commission, as we reported to the Commission late last year, we began the process of implementing or looking at the process to select a consultant to start and prepare a recreational needs assessment. That effort was led by Ms. Reyes-Martin of our staff. And as we began to go through the process, we heard back from the consultants that the amount of budget that had been set aside for this assessment was insufficient to cover the scope of the work that was in the rec needs assessment that was put out by the city. So with that, we have some updates for you that we'd like to share, and Ms. Reyes-Martin will be presenting the item for you to give you an update and a kind of a status update on where we're at in this process, because this is an important process, as we heard from the Commission last year, about what our recreational needs are within the city of Goleta.
Madam Chair and members of the Parks and Rec Commission, I will be providing you some additional background information on how this project has been going since the last time we met, and provide you with some additional new updates. So as you know, staff prepared a draft request for proposals, request for qualifications, and received feedback on the scope of work from the Parks and Recreation Commission at their September 11th meeting. Staff incorporated those comments, and the request for proposals was released on September 13th and closed on October 14th of 2013. Prior to the close of the request for proposals, staff received a great deal of phone calls from various interested firms that had additional questions regarding the project and the scope of work. As a result, staff issued an addendum to the RFP that provided answers to all those questions that we had received. That's our typical process here at the city. We want to make sure that, you know, when staff answers, you know, a lot of these questions, that we make sure those questions are published to anyone who might be interested in submitting a proposal. So that's attachment one in your packet. At the close of the RFP RFQ period, the city received two proposals. Both of those proposals submitted to the city included a total cost that exceeded the budgeted amount for the project. Both firms did let us know that they were going to be submitting proposals that were going to exceed the budget, but they felt they were very interested in the project and thought that they wanted to submit something anyway, and would be open to, you know, discussing how they could possibly, you know, work with us. So we carefully reviewed those submitted proposals and decided to invite both firms into interview with a panel of staff, and interviews took place on October 28th of 2013. So after evaluation of the proposals and the interviews, staff has determined that the allocated budget will not be sufficient to complete the full scope of work as identified in the request for proposals. As a result, staff is recommending the preparation of a budget request to supplement funds already allocated for this project. Staff has begun conducting research and doing a survey of similar projects to determine what a more appropriate budget amount might be, you know, from current projects or fairly recent projects. That survey includes local, you know, cities that have done projects like this in Ventura County, Los Angeles County, and Orange County. Staff is working with the city manager and finance director on a budget request for city council consideration. This budget request will be included as part of the mid-year budget adjustment, which is tentatively scheduled to be presented to the city council at their February 18th, 2014 meeting. At this time, staff anticipates requesting an estimated additional $55,000 to support the recreation needs assessment. Staff will return to the Parks and Recreation Commission with an update on this process and a path forward at their next meeting. And we hope to, you know, be able to provide you at that time an update on, you know, the budget request to City Council and how we plan to move forward with that. And if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer those at this time.
Yeah, I actually do. So it's an additional 55, so we're talking about $80,000 as a total or something in that neighborhood?
That is the estimate that we're working on right now, and that number, as I've mentioned, is based on looking at similar projects with very similar scopes of work and also similar size as far as the city, and not only the city but also the facilities that we're looking at, the amount of acreage that we have as far as open space, the types of programs that we already have. So we've taken all those factors into account when looking at similar projects and trying to gauge what a similar cost might be. That cost would also include a contingency, you know, fund for the city, so that the total cost may not be that high, but we want to make sure that we provide a contingency amount with any project.
I would like to ask how our commission can be of help. Specifically, I guess, and I'm only speaking for myself here, is, you know, we had our initial 6 months. We're starting 2014, and actually, as one of the commissioners, I'd like to be put to use and put to work to assist the city on this, to help expedite it, to offer more than just coming and attending six meetings a year. So is there anything as commissioners we can do to partner with the city to become more involved or to go visit any of the other communities you've mentioned, you know, to learn, you know, what they did to make it work?
Madam Chair and Commissioner West, I think you bring up some great points. However, because this is really the first full year that we'll be working in totality with the commission, in other words, we'll have a full six meetings, we're working within the resources that have been allocated by the council. And so, as I think I've mentioned here in front of this body before, this, it seems like this first year we're kind of setting the foundation for a lot of what the commission is going to be involved with. We've done a number of the tours. We've done a number of presentations, the budget overview that was presented by the city treasurer previously. So all these are kind of the foundation, if you will, of the commission, so that when we, for example, this rec needs assessment, staff will tell you, based on what we've heard from other cities and having been involved in some of these things in prior work, it will be a very involved process with the commission. And coming out of the rec needs assessment, there will be quite a bit for this commission to address and provide input and feedback on. So I think be careful what you ask for, because I think the rec needs assessment will be a great opportunity for the commission to really weigh in on a very important multiple questions related to recreation within the city, and this body's ability to weigh in on that. And without having the rec needs assessment before you in completed form, I'm afraid staff is somewhat limited in our ability to fully respond to your question. And I'm also hesitant to do that because from what we know that the rec needs assessment will be a very involved process with a consultant. There'll be lots of interaction with this commission, and there'll be lots of opportunity for the commission and members of the public to come in and participate in this process. And staff is anxious to move forward with the rec needs assessment. The original budget estimate that was put into the budget was really a placeholder, because there was really no accurate way for us to calculate what the rec need assessment was actually going to cost. And so we now have a much better idea, and we want to be fully prepared to have the adequate budget resources to fund it, to have the contingency, which is typically 10% within a project, and to ensure that we get through the entire process and come out of it with a document that I think all of you will agree, once we're done, will be a very significant document for the city.
Just to clarify, so you envision that we may have a role in the process of developing the final report, not just in responding to the final report from the consultant?
I believe as part of the scope of work, there will be that opportunity.
Any other questions?
Well,
Commissioner Richards?
Yeah, more, I guess it's a kind of a comment or question. I appreciate the importance of getting this needs assessment done in order for us to evaluate what we have and identify areas to move forward. It's a big increase. I mean, what we're asking for seems significant. And I mean, I don't know how the council, you know, I don't know how the budgeting process works that very well. So I'm not sure how amenable they would be to such a large increase, you know, more than doubling, you know, our original request. I'm wondering, like, have you considered, or would there be a way of reducing the scope of work that would either stay in budget or, you know, not require such a large increase?
Vice Chair Richards and members of the commission, staff has looked at the opportunity to scale back the work, the scope, and to scale back the budget correspondingly. However, based on, I think, some of our preliminary survey of other cities, in what would be a complete survey, an assessment, a rec needs assessment, we're uncomfortable bringing something that may not be fully complete to you. And staff will be at the February council meeting with the city manager and also the city finance director. We're working within the budgetary process to make the request. I can't at this point say that it's approved because I can't speak for the council, and the council will have opportunity to consider that. But I believe there is a sense that this is an important document for the commission, for the community, and staff is anxious to move forward on it.
Commissioner Rojas, question.
Yes, Michael, I guess it's more of a comment as well. I think I've I said it maybe when we first learned about the RFP process that we have a lot of skill sets in this body. I think we definitely have a lot of interest in this body to participate. But it was characterized that basically the train left the station. We came on board after the specs for the RFP were developed. And with respect to that, we kind of watched the process. I'm not sure if I need to make a motion, but I think with the passion that this group has in working with both the staff and the community, if for some reason the bids come in too high for the next round of RFPs, that's what I understand is going to happen, right? You're going to go out again.
Correct.
You're going to get correct. Submissions.
Correct.
And then there'll be a process for rolling out the program. If for some reason those, again, come in over or under budget, the prices submitted are over what is budgeted, then I would like to maybe suggest to our chair that we develop a subcommittee of the commission to work with the city on developing other options for obtaining a community assessment. Because I think we could do it, either using the university here, going to Cal Poly, using their skills, their programs. I know we've used Cal Poly in the past for, other projects in the city. So I'm not sure if I need to make a motion, but I think that's kind of a consensus that I'm feeling from this group on how we may participate.
Well, I'd like to share with the commission that, as Commissioner Rojas pointed out, because if the new budget gets approved, there's a new budget allocation for the rec needs assessment, staff will need to go out and rebid the work again. Correspondingly, staff could also look at the scope of work and include, I think, as you mentioned, the opportunity to capture some of the interaction between the consultant who will be doing a lot of the data and a lot of the work and interacting with the commission. And staff could certainly ensure and explore those opportunities to include that. In other words, a more robust interaction with the commission. And staff is certainly, happy to do that. So at this point, I hope that tries to address the point you brought up about capturing, I think, some of the skill sets that are on the commission and some of the passion and energy that is here in this process. So we have a document that is responsive to the commission as well as the needs within the community.
Okay. More, another question?
Well, this is more in response to what Richard's idea was. Maybe the commission should wait and see what the reaction is from through the budgeting process before we decide to create a subcommittee or decide that next step.
Yeah, I was going to agree. I think I'd like to thank staff for all the information that you've provided us, and I think building this foundation over the past year. Also, the information you provided about the recreation and needs assessment. I think at this point, without other questions, we should table this item and come back to it after you've met with the council and have more feedback on the funding and where we're going to go from that point, and then be able to discuss it a little further. Commissioner West, do you have something you want to add?
Yes, Madam Chair. That sounds nice. I just wanted to ask, is there any way that we could get a copy of perhaps just one of the city? You had mentioned Oxnard, or you mentioned a variety of cities that went through a similar process. Perhaps you could pick the one that you think did it the best, or, just so we could have a little homework to review what a well-done one looks like.
Staff would be happy to do that and provide you some homework.
okay.
And I think it's important that the commission knows that staff is certainly interested in the interaction with the commission to ensure that what finally comes back to the commission in the form of a rec needs assessment, that the input and the feedback from the commission has been reflected in that document. So, because ultimately, when the consultant leaves and they receive their final payment, we will be working with that document for many years after that process has been completed. And that's all the more important why we need to make sure at the front end of the process that we're clear and comprehensive about what we're trying to achieve.
Okay. Thank you. All right, let's move on to item D, future agenda items. Staff, do you have future agenda items you'd like to discuss?
Madam Chair and members of the Parks and Recreation Commission, I'm just going to go over briefly some of the upcoming agenda items that you will have. As we mentioned at your last meeting, we will likely be scheduling a safety training for you all, and Mr. Adamaitis will provide some more information on that during his director's report. At your next meeting, we will also have a presentation on the butterfly habitat management plan from our advanced planning manager, Ann Wells. I referred to that during today's docent program presentation, and she will provide you a presentation on that project that is currently going on, and it's a habitat management plan for the Butterfly Grove area. We will hope to also have an update at that time on the outcome of the budget request and more information on a path forward for the recreation needs assessment. And we will also have an update for you on the feasibility study at the Goleta Valley Community Center for a civic center. That project, as you are aware, kicked off just last week, so there will be a lot of opportunities for engagement from the community, and we hope to provide an update to this body on that project and opportunities for you to be involved through the community workshops that will be occurring in the upcoming weeks and months.
I'd like to ask about the Hollister Kellogg Park update. Did you mention that? Did I miss it?
I did not mention that, but that is something we can provide you an update on at your next meeting. We can certainly check with staff and Claudia Dado on an update on that project.
Okay, great. Any other items, future agenda items? No. Okay, with that, we move on to E, our director's report from Mr. Adamaitis.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the Commission, Ms. Reyes-Martin already touched on one of the items that I wanted to share with you, but last Thursday, we conducted the first of four workshops with the City Council on the important project, very important for Old Town and for the city of Goleta in general, the Civic Center feasibility study for the Goleta Valley Community Center. You'll recall last year we had a tour of that facility, and we were able to kind of see what's out there. This is an important process that will look at this site in a number of different scenarios to see if a civic center can fit on there. If it does, what would it look like? The feedback that we got at the council meeting last Thursday, it was a special meeting of the council, was certainly a concern about ensuring that some of our senior citizens who go to the community center are have minimal impacts as a result of this, and we're very certainly sensitive to that. And this is a feasibility study at this point. In other words, we're not looking at designing a civic center. It's just the beginning of that process. It's a 4 to 6 month timeline, and we, I think, got some great feedback, and certainly want to invite any of you to participate in any of the future workshops that we have. There'll be three additional ones, a total of four. And it's something that we could also look at in the scope of work for the rec needs assessment to ensure that there's an opportunity for a direct workshop with the Parks Commission, if you so desire. And I get the sense some of you desire that. So I wanted to share that. Also, on March 27th, the Sheriff's Department will be conducting a safety training for the City Council and Planning Commission, DRB, the Public Tree Advisory Commission, and also the Parks and Rec Commission. There will be two sessions on the 27th of March. I say this because we want to get this onto your calendar as early as we can. We'll have two sessions on that day at 2 p.m., and the next one will be at 6 p.m. So if you can include that into your schedule, that would be great. This is the kind of training that we probably want to do on an annual or certainly a biannual basis to ensure that public bodies here at the city receive this training from the Sheriff's Department, and it will be conducted by Sergeant Huddle, and our community resource deputy, Mr. Dave Velades. And I don't know if any of you have met our new community resource deputy, but at a future meeting, probably in March, we'll invite him so you can hear about what he does. And he replaced community resource deputy Greg Sorensen. The last item that I have for you is really just a public information item, and we're continuing to put out the word and the importance of that the city places in outreach to the public and members of the community to keep folks informed about what's going on at the city. On the city's website, www.cityofgoleta.org, there's a Stay Connected button that you can click on and find a number of ways to keep in touch. And we also want to share this with the audience that's at home tonight who sometimes aren't able to attend meetings or come to City Hall. But there's really three important things that I wanted to share with members of the public, among a bunch of other really great information there that's present. The first one is email notifications that residents can get regarding meetings, projects, and other city news. It's important. You can get it sent right to you via email. There's also an opportunity to enroll and sign up for emergency alerts. This is via landline, telephone, text, and email. So you go on, it takes probably less than a minute to go on there and sign up, and it's important to get that kind of information to be informed about what's going on in the city of Goleta. And the last item is you can also sign up for the Monarch Press, the city's online newsletter that has a lot of really great information about what's going on here in Goleta, so residents can keep abreast of what's happening and get some great news and information about all the things within the city. So I just wanted to make sure that all of you were aware of that, and certainly all of the audience at home watching tonight. And that would conclude my director's report. I think we'll have a busy year this year, and really looking forward to covering a lot of material and a lot of ground this year as we embark on this new year, 2014, already. I also wanted to just take an opportunity to thank Ms. Vanderheide and Ms. Reyes-Martin for the great job that they've done this year on the Monarch Butterfly Docent Program. There's a lot of work that goes in that, and it's about people. And it's the people who really make it work. And a lot of time and a lot of passion and a lot of care about how great it is to be out there and working with the children and the schools. So it's one of those things that really helps make Goleta a really special place. And I'm really thankful for their help. With that, that concludes my director's report. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have at this time.
No questions. Oh, Commissioner West.
I was just wondering, I know it's a little late, but I was wondering for our next agenda, and not to take your time now, if we could put on there a discussion of how the lack of water and rainfall and what effect the city of Goleta will be putting into place as far as looking after all of our parks during this period. I don't know what one would call that exactly, but I know everybody's worked. Pardon me? Thank you. There you go.
Okay. Any final comments or questions before we conclude? Thank you again, staff and Mr. Adamides, for all of your presentations, your updates, and feedback. It's greatly appreciated by this commission. With that, meeting is concluded.
Thank you.